Many of the people I work with are solo artists. For a variety of reasons, solo artists tend to write better songs than bands, and if I find a good voice and a good song, I'll jump at the chance to work with it. But once your music is recorded, no matter who's playing on the track, you are still free to put together a band and market your music under a band name. So why would you want to? Well, many solo artists quit bands because of the hassle. I mean, they're suddenly enjoying the freedom of writing songs, getting them recorded, not having to consult three or four other people about every musical decision. Bands are also notoriously hard to keep together, and more than that, hard to keep motivated when they are together. So, yes, it's all a pain in the ass, but bear with me and you'll see that it might be worth the trouble. Okay, so think about who's successful in the Australian music industry. We're not talking about international stars, just Australian-made talent. This is important, so pay attention. It might change your whole approach to marketing your music. You could roughly break it down into four categories. Number one, bands. Number two, acoustic singer-songwriters, Josh Pye, Pete Murray, Lisa Mitchell, for example. Number three, what I call TV stars, X Factor, Idol, Neighbours and so on. And number four, country artists. Okay, so what's missing out of those four groups? Well, for a start, solo male or female rock singer-songwriters. Think about it. Who do we have that is performing something in the range of, say, Powderfinger or Jet, who is actually a solo artist? What about someone like Shannon Noll, you might say? Well, he's a TV star in my books. How about Bernard Fanning? Well, you know, he got his start in a band and his solo stuff falls squarely into the acoustic singer-songwriter category. Jimmy Barnes, you know, started in a band and he hasn't had a commercial radio hit in about 15 years. John Farnham? I mean, signed 30 years ago and he now falls into kind of adult contemporary world. And what about the more indie side of things? How many solo artists are there that have a kind of full band sound behind them that are playing that indie kind of music? Well, there's Josh Pye. I mean, he started very much in that acoustic solo kind of world and still most of what he does falls into that realm. Bob Evans, you know, Kevin started with Jebediah and made a point of doing some pretty acoustic-sounding stuff at the beginning to sort of distinguish his solo stuff from the band stuff. Megan Washington might be the small exception, but technically, Washington is a band name. And interestingly, an artist like Lady Hawk is marketed under what could be taken as a band name, not Pip Brown's real name. Now, that's also a bit of a trend at the moment with artists like Bat for Lashes, Florence and the Machine, MIA, Allies. These are basically solo female artists, but marketed under stage names that could also be taken as band names. This stuff isn't accidental, it's calculated. Now, in Australia, the market is also a bit thin for solo, male or female dance, pop, R&B singers. Like Ricky Lee, Jessica Mauboy, Stan Walker, Wes Carr, Guy Sebastian. All of those people got their start on Australian Idol. What about Kylie Minogue? Well, you know, she started on Neighbours. What about Delta Goodrum? Also came through Neighbours, which a lot of people forget. And she almost falls into the piano-driven acoustic artist world, or at least she did on her first album. And mainly, I'm talking about where people started, because as an unsigned artist, you need to think about where people got their breakthrough, not what they did on their 11th album when they were already popular. So what can we deduce from all of this? Well, pretty simply, if you're not a TV star, an acoustic singer-songwriter, country solo artist or in a band, you're really pushing uphill. If you were a TV star, you probably wouldn't be listening to this anyway, so we'll put that aside. But if you're a solo rock or solo pop performer, you have to realise that the trends are kind of against you here. So what do? Do you lay down and die? Well, preferably not, but you do need to consider if marketing yourself solo is the best approach. I frequently recommend that male artists, especially those playing rock or indie-orientated stuff, consider putting together a traditional band. Labels and managers seem to be resistant to putting out a big rock or indie-sounding single under a solo name. There's just something unbelievable about it for punters. Also, there's this kind of romantic notion of four guys sweating it out in a jam room, playing dives, making $15 each per gig, and then somehow, out of all the partying, rocking out, and groupies, they pull it all together and write this monster rock hit. In addition, there's this kind of idea that if four or five people have come together and believe in this music, there's probably something good about it. Now, of course, four incompetents can get together and believe in something really crap, but that's sort of how the psychology works. Likewise, female artists doing pop rock stuff without any TV connections should think about teaming up with a few guys, or even better, a few girls, to form a band. It will be 10 times as credible and open up a whole bunch of possibilities. Now, I'm not suggesting this is easy to pull together, but it will instantly set you apart from every other kind of Avril Lavigne wannabe, of which there are quite a number in Australia. Female or male artists doing pop, dance, R&B stuff should think about adding a kind of collective to their image. It could be as simple as marketing under a name like Heartbeat instead of Jane Jones. There still hasn't really been an Australian Justin Timberlake, Eminem, Beyonce, or non-TV star Kylie. At least not a lasting and successful one. But there have been the Rogue Traders, I mean, fronted by a TV star, but they were a credible dance act to begin with. Madison Avenue, the Hilltop Hoods, the Potbellies, Savage Garden, Presets, and others. Now, would Savage Garden have worked as well if it was launched as Darren Hayes? Would Madison Avenue have worked as well if it was just Shane Coates? How about the dance act TV Rock from a number of years ago? Would Flaunted have gone on to be a big hit if it was just Shawnee B? I guess we can only speculate, but we can certainly deduce that for whatever reason, all of these artists were launched under a collective name. Having said all that, if you're playing songs mainly based around acoustic guitar or piano, and that's going to be a prominent feature of the sound, there's room for you. I mean, in those sort of situations, I always make a point of keeping a person's main instrument up front in the mix when producing the song. Even if a Missy Higgins song has drums, moderate electric guitar, full orchestra, at the heart of it will be Missy's voice and acoustic instrument, guitar or piano. Australians seem to be willing to accept that. But if you're singing over a wall of guitars or dance beats, people seem to think that there has to be a band or collective behind it. It all comes down to believability, and even in the modern age, you know, of easy digital home studios where one person can sound like U2 or the Backstreet Boys, perceptions haven't changed all that much. It's simplistic but true. If punters are hearing a wall of sound, they expect to be looking at a wall of people, especially if you're talking about a rock or indie sound. Maybe it's because if they're listening to some mega drums and mega guitar riffs and cool keyboards, they feel like they want to know who's playing it. Imagining a session guy or producer playing it is not romantic in the slightest, and music is very much about the romance and magic. Even if it's 90% fiction, I mean, it's entertainment in the end. For some reason, country fans have always been happy to see their solo artists with a revolving door of session guns for hire, either on stage or on record. And in Australia, that holds true as well. There aren't actually that many country bands, but there's a whole lot of country solo artists, and there's very little limit on what kind of sound they can have. Perhaps the difference is that in country world, it's expected. In rock and indie world, people expect it to be drawn from your own life. You have to be seen sweating blood for it, not hiring a bunch of guru musicians to make it for you. Now, the truth is most solo artists do hire a bunch of guru musicians or producers to help them, but that doesn't mean it has to be marketed like that, and it definitely shouldn't be. Of course, it's totally possible that something's going to come out in the next 2 months and totally disprove my whole theory, but in 15 years of producing music, there's been very little to contradict it. Yes, there's stacks of US and UK examples that go against what I'm saying, but as I'm always trying to remind people, Australia is its own market with its own culture and protocols. If you're trying to succeed here, you have to look at what's actually being signed and becoming successful in Australia. I often ask people what Australian artists they'd compare themselves to, and frequently they draw a blank. If there's absolutely no Australian precedent for what you're doing, it will make it even more difficult for a label or manager to get on board and take a risk on it. Sometimes people have trouble even naming a recent Australian artist that they actually listen to. Ask yourself, has there been an Australian solo artist in your genre that has been successful in the last 10 years? If you can't think of one, ask yourself what would be involved in marketing yourself under a band name. Does it mean that you have to put an entire band together, one that you spend every waking moment with and sweat blood with? Well, that wouldn't hurt. But in truth, the band can be a revolving door of musicians. The critical thing is the way you present it to the world. For a start, calling yourself something like, New York Titty, instead of plain old Paul Jackson, has a totally different vibe. If people check out your site and see a picture of four cool-looking dudes, that also has a different vibe. And this is the other advantage. It takes some of the pressure off you. When you're a Justin Timberlake, who started in a group, of course, or a Katy Perry, there's an intense amount of scrutiny on how you look, how old you are, what you've got to say in interviews, and overall whether you're a star. This comes both from the industry and the public. Now, there's a major advantage, especially if you're pushing into your 30s or not blessed with Katy Perry looks, to be putting together a band. First, some of the focus has taken off your star quality, which is sometimes just a euphemism for hotness. You'll be judged a little more on your musical ability, your voice and your songwriting. Secondly, when people look at your band picture, they tend to sum it up as, cool-looking young dudes, or indie grungy chick-fronted band, those kind of terms. They might look a little longer at the person they think is the lead singer, but not in the same way they look at pictures of Delta Goodrum. Her face is probably the entire picture, so it gives you plenty of opportunity to see if that proactive zit stuff is really working. Think of bands like Eskimo Joe, Powderfinger, Jet. You know, when these bands came out, the public took them as like, oh yeah, cool young dudes playing rock music, indie music, whatever. Was Cav a hottie? Was Bernie a heartthrob? It wasn't really a factor. They were meant to be considered as a group, you know, presented as kind of a rough and ready bunch of contemporary bandy-looking guys. Now, bandy-looking guys are meant to be youngish, thinnish, and sort of stylishly scruffy. You know, unshaven but with a scarf. That's a lot easier than being smouldering and sexy with undeniable star quality and charisma, which is what the industry is going to expect from most solo artists. A lot of these band dudes sort of come across as pretty regular guys in interviews, but again, you know, they're band guys, so it makes it okay. Now, when you have a female-fronted band like Divinyls or Baby Animals or, you know, more recently Paramore, there will naturally be more attention placed on the female lead singer. But these girls are taken a completely different way to a Katy Perry or an Avril. Even if the music isn't all that different and created in more or less the same way, people just think that the band chick is sort of cool and maybe more mysterious, you know, even if she's not a major hottie. They expect the solo girl to be a studio creation and place a lot of attention on how she looks. There is a kind of, she must be famous because she's hot stigma versus, you know, Paramore, where it's more, she's famous because she's a real musician playing with a real band. Totally different perception, even when the music isn't worlds apart. Anyway, the thing to take away from all this, just because you're a solo artist, it doesn't mean you have to be presented as one. Even if you come to me and we produce all the music, just you and I, that doesn't mean your music can't be marketed under a band name. It's been done 100 times, and you'd be surprised how many bands are just solo artists with a backing band who have very little creative input. I mean, John Bon Jovi has had his band on salary since the start, you know, Dave Grohl the same. When there is a solo artist who wants what they want, but wants to appear as a band, that's how they do it. If you're thinking that this is all too hard and too much work, just ask yourself, who is an Australian solo artist playing your kind of music who has been successful in the last 10 years? If you can name 5, well, you're on safe ground. If you can't name any, or only one, perhaps the band option is the one to take. And remember, often the best way is to record the music first. Make all the creative decisions yourself, then get people in to play it. It can often be easier to put together a band if you can play them the song fully produced and happening, rather than just a rough version on acoustic and let them fill in the gaps. Plus, the ultimate goal is to present yourself as a band but not give up your creative vision. This is why I suggest that people come to me as solo artists and we make their ultimate recording with no limitations on what instruments can be used or what kind of playing is on there. Once that's in hand, then work out how to put the band together. It's a shortcut, but one that might get you there a lot faster. If you'd like any advice, please get in touch. Thanks.